are great.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you for Josh's meditation devotional there. Yeah, we get off, and if we remember how great you are, you become the center of the focus, and then everything streams out, kind of like, you know, spokes from a hub. Thank you that you are the center. We lift you up. Thank you. Bless us. Use us now. Guide me into what to say and how to say it, Lord. Give me a good heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Turn to, because we're going to, I want everybody to turn to it, even though that's not your thing, because our scripture's in here, all right? So that's what we'll be reading. So we're looking at how to slow down, and our culture is so fast. We are so fast. It was January 27th, 1956, and Martin Luther King had just gotten onto the Montgomery Improvement Board. He was getting death threats. His family was getting threatened. He got arrested for going 30 miles per hour in a 25 mile per hour zone. He felt hounded, watched, and the civil rights movement was just too high of a cost for both him and his family. And he decided to quit. Couldn't sleep, went downstairs and was sitting at his kitchen table praying. And he felt, heard a voice saying, Martin Luther, stand up. Stand up for truth. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice, and I'll be with you to the end of the age. What if Martin Luther had a cell phone? You know, you can't sleep in the middle of the night. You go downstairs, I'll play a little Candy Crush, check up on my texts and my emails. A moment of history would have been lost. And we have no idea how many moments of history are being lost right now. Amen. We got to slow down. Stand up. Read God's word about slowing down, getting silent, getting alone. Who else found God in the quiet and history has changed? Well, here's some verses. Genesis 24. Isaac went out to the field one evening to meditate. Sounds like that's what he kind of did. He just got away from everybody. Genesis 28. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. When you get quiet, you need to seek God, but sometimes God seeks you. Exodus 33, this is wonderful. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp. There it is again, getting away, outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. What a great name, a tent to meet God, be with God. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing, you know, over the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of their tent. And so Moses' tent of the meeting became a tent of a meeting for everybody in their own tent. So awesome. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. 1 Samuel 3, Samuel was a little kid. The Lord came and stood there in the tabernacle, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, say that with me, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And 1 Kings, wonderful time, Elijah is running from Jezebel, and the Lord, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper and a still, small voice. Psalm 131, read that out loud. This is awesome from David. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. I'm not an infant. I'm aware and cognizant, but I'm little and loved, and I'm on my mama's lap, and I'm on my father's lap. Luke 5. Yet the news about him, Jesus, spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Man, if Jesus needed to get away, how about you and me? Luke chapter 22, right before Jesus is arrested, Jesus went out as usual. Isn't that neat? as usual. In fact, Judas knew it was so usual that that's where he would be. As usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw away. Even though he went to a quiet place, he went to a quieter place. He knelt down and prayed. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you are constantly speaking through your word, creation, our conscience, your spirit, and help us to slow down enough to start hearing you. And Lord, help us to get away like Jesus did, like Elijah, like Isaac, just on and on, Moses, seeking you so that we can hear you in the quiet, so that we can then hear you in the noise. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. As Jesus, as busy as he was, he kept getting away with you, getting centered again. And then we see it in his life, how focused and present and patient, no matter what the interruption was, how he handled it. Lord, make us like Jesus. It's why we're here. It's why you saved us. And then help us to spread his word, his name out from here too. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. If you can, grab a Bible. Let's do it. This is God's word. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I'll read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And now I want you to very quietly, softly, tenderly, I usually say give the other person a rap, but just tap each other and take a seat. Let's keep in that spirit, huh? I did not bring my water, which I will need. So, we live in a fast pace, as I run back and forth. Slow down, that's okay. In a fast-paced world, right? Since the invention of the light bulb in the 1870s, we've lost 4 hours of sleep a day. A day. And now, with our cell phone, this is even before cell phone, how many of you remember waking up to the radio? And then the TV. And you just turned it on, right? I mean, you needed to catch up to the news, watch the morning program, whatever. And now we wake up to our phone and we drive to work and, you know, we put in the earbuds. Do you do that? Huh? Or Bluetooth? Or at least, yeah? Huh? Constantly connected. You know, last week, my day off, 12 hours of waxing and washing my cars, I got to listen to 150 pages of a great book on counseling. 150 pages. I'm now up to two times. I can keep up at two times. I'm shooting out for three. Faster, 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 faster. I also counseled with somebody for an hour. Oh, nothing personal, but you guys can understand this. Don't you just hate sitting in a chair talking to somebody? But hey, I'm waxing my van and counseling all at the same time. This is sweet. And then I got to talk to many people of you. I got to talk to my dad, 94 years old. I got to talk to my sister. I got to talk to some of you. And I've gone like basically nonstop except for breaking for lunch for about 12 hours of work. And it's now 10 o'clock. If I'm not done, I got the hubcaps left to do, and I don't want to quit until I finish the hubcaps. Guys, help me here, because the ladies are laughing at me. And so I finished the book. I can't call anybody now at 10 o'clock at night, so what do I do? What do I do? Okay, well, there's a podcast, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, stop. Stop. But Lord, it's going to be another half an hour. I can get a podcast in. You know what I'm saying? Stop. So it was painful. It really was. It was painful. But I stopped and I tried to digest and to pray back what I learned that day. Wow. Amen. Noise has become our constant, hasn't it? And so when it gets unplugged, we get jittery. We're almost like addicts going into cold turkey. In fact, the astronauts have to be trained to go into the silence of space. Space is so quiet, being a vacuum. Out there, you hear your heartbeat and your lungs breathe. You feel your skin, hear it slide over your muscles. You hear your muscles slide over your tendons. And you feel your, not just hear, feel, I mean, you hear your organs moving and gurgling and pumping. In fact, you hear so much stuff that you can actually go crazy and start hearing things that aren't there. And so they have to take our astronauts and put them in this room that absorbs all sound and just get that muscle built so they can stand the silence, okay? And so that's why we're here, okay? Love, joy, peace, patience. Because God's here to help us. The first three sermons and how we first have to admit the problem. And we do have a problem. First sermon was, well, is this something new? No. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. God's saying, this is how I created evening and morning, one day, and it was good. It's in the Ten Commandments. And it's in the parable of Jesus and the banquet where he says, these people weren't bad people. They were just busy. They had things they needed to do. And kind of a slowing tip from that sermon is memorize. Oh, it's so good. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then the next sermon, we talked about Martha scurrying around. So see, even before cell phones, even things were busy. And Jesus saying, what? Martha, Martha, slow down. Take a breath. Realize you're worried and distracted by so many things. Just one thing's important. And Mary's chosen that. And then last week we saw we have an enemy. He's called Satan. And he wants to take, steal, kill, and destroy. And he takes the spirit fruit. And wasn't that amazing? Just to think about the love, joy, peace, patience, and how the phone can just rob that. We talk about putting on the armor. Jesus is on the throne. He owns my phone. Amen. Now, today we're going to look at, start, and we'll go through October on different spiritual practices or habits or disciplines that help us get reconnected. And the deal is that it's just like, Josh, what you're saying, when we come to church once a week, it shows us what life can be. You're not going to live at this level all week. But it helps you know that you can, helps you know how to do it. And there's two things we're going to talk about today. They're real simple. One is Jesus is our model. And two is habits are our friend. Jesus is our model and habits are our friend. Jesus is our model. We as Westerners aren't thinking right in this. When we read the Gospels, did you know that, in fact, the whole Bible is 60% story? 60% story. How many of you read Knowing God by J.I. Packer? It's a classic book. Now I'm going to say something, but it's a class, it's good. But in the beginning, he says, the most important thing about you is what you believe about God. That's true. And the most important thing to know is to know God. You don't need to worry about knowing yourself. Just know God and everything else will fall into place. J.I., if that was true, why did God give us all this? Why didn't he just give us a theology book? I need to see this in real life. I need to see how this looks and how this breathes and acts. Are you with me? A while ago, Janet and I had a, I wish I was more mechanical. My dad You know, it just wasn't his thing. And I talked to him about this week, actually. I said, Dad, you changed the oil, didn't you? He says, yeah. Did you ever teach me how to change the oil? Anyway, our dryer was making this horrendous sound, just wonka, wonka. And it's like, I don't want to call up and pay, $75 just for the guy to show up to say, yeah, I can't fix it. So we got on YouTube and found out what the ronka ronka was, and it's on some kind of bearing. And then we got on and we found out how to do it, and we watched YouTube. We watched YouTube, and then Janet took her laptop, and we went down, set it on top of the dryer, and we bought the right thing, and we were a team. It's like, okay, you're going to need four hands here, and we pull the drum out, and we reach in behind, and we fixed our dryer because of YouTube, because we saw somebody do it. 60% of this book is stories about people who did it or who didn't do it and learned from it. But when we read the gospel, it's like, okay, well, Jesus proves himself to be deity because he calms the storm. Amen, he did that. And amen, that's part of it. But it's more than that. He's given us a YouTube. Are you with me? And secondly, good habits are our friend. Now, they say that all of us should be able to run a mile, right? Well, where is your faith? Don't try it today. Day of rest. Don't try to run a mile until you can walk a mile. Don't try to walk a mile until maybe you can walk a quarter mile. Do you know what I'm saying? And then, okay, maybe walk and jog. Amen. Love, joy, peace, patience. Good habits help you do later what you can't do now. Let's go back to Jesus as our model. I'm going to skip around a little bit to make it maybe more clear. Does Jesus, see, I went as a Westerner, and don't throw the Western thinking out, but we also need to include the Eastern thinking. As a Westerner, when I read the Gospels, I look, okay, that's what Jesus did, and he's God, he's special. I mean, I can't do that. But I look for his commands, okay? And we should. I mean, I'd encourage you, read and reread Matthew chapters 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Wonderful stuff. How many times does Jesus command us to get alone and be quiet? I can only think of one time specifically. It's Matthew chapter 6. He says, when you pray, go into your closet. Now that's a command. We better do it. Get alone. Amen. But that's it. Now he also says to his disciples, but you know, we weren't there when they were so busy. Let's come away, get apart. He also says in Matthew 11, come if you're weary and learn from me. But if you just look at the Gospels for commands, that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is a YouTube, is how you do it. And this is a command that I don't know if you've thought about much. I know I need to think more about it. His biggest command, his command that he says more than any other, is two words: follow me. Follow me. 21 times. Follow me, 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 follow me. Oh, I get it. I'm supposed to trust in you. Yes, you're supposed to trust in me. And the way you trust in me is by following me. Oh, I get it. I'm supposed to obey you and read the Bible. Yes, so that you learn how to follow me. Luke chapter 9. Then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple, my follower, must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Disciple means learner. Apprentice. It's used 265 times in the Bible. in the New Testament. I think the word Christian is only used once or twice. Disciple means follow. So Jesus offers on-the-job training of watching, learning, practicing skills and habits. This is so neat. And the reason why we've missed this is we've missed because we're not part of that Eastern culture. How did rabbis get disciples? They would go to the graduating class of 15-year-olds who had memorized, now everybody memorized Genesis through Deuteronomy, and about age 10, they went back to the family farm. But those who were a little sharper, they stayed on at Hebrew school, and they learned Genesis, not only Genesis through Deuteronomy, but all the way on to Malachi, which lets us know that, you know, again, John, Peter, James probably were probably in that class because they could quote scripture, word perfect, without having a scroll in front of them. And so the rabbis would look at this class and they'd go, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. That's what the rabbi said. But they only said it to the smartest of the class. Woo! Jesus comes along and he says, follow me. Follow whoever you are, follow me. You don't have to be the top 5% of your class. Uh-uh. Just follow me. Is that awesome? They said something else. Now, you know Jesus said that 21 times. You know what else they said? They would say, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you because I know you're really smart and you're going to make me look good if I can call you one of my disciples. Uh-uh, not Jesus. You worn out. You beat up. You about ready to quit. Take my yoke. Learn from me. And to take the yoke meant we're going to walk together, eat together, sleep together. We're going to do life together. You're going to get hear everything I have to say. I'm going to be asking you questions. You're going to be asking me questions. You're going to see how I interact. You're going to put my yoke upon you. Wow, do we have a good rabbi. We have a wonderful rabbi who's inviting everybody. It was 1896. Pastor in Chicago was wrestling with this, and he encouraged his congregation for the next year, don't do anything that Jesus wouldn't do. And he got creative, and he started telling this in story form of this town out in Kansas, all fictional, had a pastor. And on one Friday, there was a knock on his door, and a guy named Jack, who'd got injured at work and was out of a job, came and was in need, and the pastor was working on a sermon, you know, I mean, that's important. And he kind of politely listened, but brushed him aside. And then on Sunday, Jack was there again. And at the end of the service, Jack came forward and stood in front of the pulpit and said, I don't mean to complain, just stating the facts. I haven't seen much of Jesus' love here. I haven't seen much of his compassion. And being hungry, and he fell, collapsed, 3 days later died. So the pastor in this fictional town began preaching, for this next year, let's not do anything that Jesus wouldn't do. And the guy who owned the newspaper started treating his workers better and started thinking, you know what, I know Sunday paper we make a lot of money, but I'm making people work, and he quit the paper for on Sunday. A guy who was high up in some kind of engineering thing, they weren't treating the railroad workers right and doing unethical things, and he quit his job and just became a simple telegraph clerk. And there was a section in town where all the poor people went and where the prostitutes were, and they began, you know, going and helping people where they were. The guy kept preaching these sermons, and his church was getting full, and they turned it into a book called In His Steps. 50 million copies, In His Steps. What would Jesus do? Now, as Westerners, I don't know, some of you remember 20 years ago, the WWJD bracelet. That's really neat. What would Jesus do? Isn't that neat? Okay, now that's kind of hokey. Like, you're Jesus? Yes! I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but who? Christ lives in me, and the life I live by what? Faith in who? The Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Jesus is living in you, and he wants to come out through you. Start reading this like a YouTube. Wait a minute, Lord, how'd you do that? How can I do that? How does this relate to me? Now let's go back to the top of Jesus as our model. Here's 10 things what Jesus did with solitude that I could find. Jesus began his ministry with 40 days of solitude. He was led by the Spirit. I mean, here's the God of the universe, sends his son. He waits till he's 30 years old to get baptized. I mean, that's a long wait, 30 years old. Come on. And as soon as he gets baptized, what's the next thing he does? He goes out in the desert for 40 days. Are you kidding me? There's people to get saved, people to teach, people to heal. No, need to be with my father. Need to get tested by Satan. Need to get my head on straight. Wow. Jesus began, number two, his day in solitude before the sun was up. Now remember, back then, they got about 11 hours of sleep every night. They went to bed around 7 o'clock at night, so he could get up at 5. And he was doing good. He had 10 hours of sleep, right? But he gets up before the sun was up, and he prays. Jesus spent the night alone before he chose the 12. So when you have a big decision to make, when you have a lot, something huge, seek, get alone. Number four, after hearing of John the Baptist's death, Jesus withdrew to a lonely place. Kind of get the rug pulled out from underneath your feet. You get hit hard by something, get alone. Jesus did. Amen. Number five, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, even when the crowds came to hear him and be healed. The busier you are, the more you got to get alone. The more noisy it is, the more you need to hear the quiet. Number six, Jesus went to a lonely place after feeding the 5,000. I'd kind of like to hang around and hear what everybody has to say. Not Jesus. He gets alone. Jesus withdrew to a lonely place, number seven, when they tried to make him king. You tempted? I think that was something like, I got to get alone. I got to get my head on straight. I got to remember why I'm here. This isn't it. I got to build up in my spirit. Number eight, Jesus got alone with his inner three on the Mount of Transfiguration. You need to have a vision of God. Get alone. Get away. Number nine, before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed in the solitude of the Garden of Gethsemane, which was his custom. It's one of his favorite spots. Get a place that's your favorite spot. Now, I know we live in Ohio, and I know it's fall, and I know it's unseasonably cool. But in the summertime, at least, I love my front porch. And then, if I can't get on my front porch, sometimes I crack my window. Sorry, Jen. I do crack the window open. That way I can hear the birds, you know? And I know Jesus says, go to your closet. That doesn't work for me. I need to see out. You know, so whatever it is, Jesus, he liked the mountainside. That was his favorite. And number 10, oh, I need to hear this one. Jesus remained silent at his trial when it would have been so easy for him to speak. Why is that? I think because he learned to be quiet on the mountaintop. He learned to listen. Look at the bottom underneath number 3. We can't experience the life of Jesus without the lifestyle of Jesus. We can't experience the holiness of Jesus without the habits of Jesus. Here's the deal when we come to church. Okay, I need to read my Bible more. Okay, I need to pray more. Okay, I need to share more. Okay, I need to give more. And we try, and we're kind of like trying to run a marathon when we can't walk a mile. Start working on the habits, because good habits will help you do later what you can't do now. Get alone with him. Make that a practice. See what happens. So turn the page there. What is the habit of silence and solitude? It's getting alone and being quiet with God and our own souls, away from the noise, the distraction, people, busyness, tasks, to-do lists. I love Psalm 131, verse 2. David says, I have quieted my soul. I am like a weaned child on his mother's lap, quiet and content. It takes work to quiet your soul. It's not going to feel good when you first do it, okay? And what's the difference between solitude and isolation? If you could put that slide up, Josh. Solitude is engagement. Isolation is escape. Solitude is proactive. Isolation is reactive. Solitude is healing. Isolation is self-protective. Solitude, you'll be getting filled. Isolation, you'll just feel sorry for yourself. Big difference. Now, why? It's for God's voice to get so loud in the quiet, we can hear him in the noise. I love Mark chapter 1, 35 to 38. So, that's, you know, the first chapter of Mark, and Jesus has spent the day healing in Capernaum and teaching of the synagogue, then healing in the evening. And Peter is the main man, and he is excited. This thing's working. People are coming to him. People want to get healed. This is awesome. And they have a big day on the Sabbath, and he gets up on a Sunday morning, which would be like our Monday, and Peter's like, where is he? And Jesus is out probably by the Lake of Galilee, probably at the seashore, maybe on a little hill overlooking it, and he's praying. Now, when you're praying and somebody interrupts you, what happens? Can't you see I'm praying? It was really starting to get good until you showed up. You right? No, what does Jesus say? Well, first, what does Peter say? Wonderful. Read between the lines. It's so much fun. Lord, everybody's looking for you. Like, what are you thinking? We got people to heal, people to teach. Come on, we're on a roll. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And if I was Jesus, I'd go, whoa. Instead, Jesus says, no, let's go to another village. Because that's what I've been called to. He got his head on straight. He knew what he was about. And so he was able to take Peter's, no, Peter, no, we're going to other villages. It's not about my popularity, Peter. It's about me reaching people. And I want to go to them. I don't want them coming to me. So, you know, the Buddhist monk, just leave me alone. Just me and the universe. You know, the monk in the monastery. Just me and Jesus. Just leave me alone. Just me and... No! That's not what it's about. It's about getting alone with him so we can go out. Amen? Henry Nouwen said that compassion is the fruit of solitude. So why? It's to hear God's voice so loud in the quiet that we hear him in the noise. Just, I'm going to read the bullets. It's not to escape our world, but to re-enter our world with God's voice and presence. We withdraw from the world, for the world, to bring Jesus' presence to the world. It's just not for personal therapy and healing, but to leave healed and help others. That's the why. Now I have another chart just to show you when we do it and when we don't do it, what are the results? With no solitude, we feel distance from ourselves and God. But with solitude, we feel close to God and even ourselves. Without solitude, we feel anxiety. With it, peace. Without confusion. With it, centered. Without it, irritation. With it, compassion. Without it, exhausted. With it, refreshed. Without it, impatient. With it, patient. No margin versus margin, space, reserve. A sensory overload versus a sensory calming. An uncontrolled tongue because we're just ready to explode versus a controlled tongue. Wow. And when should we do it? Now see, this is something from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus did this practice. He says, follow me. He says, take my yoke, learn from me. And he is participating in something that happened from the Garden of Eden. Eden? Adam and Eve did that? Yeah. God walked with them when? During the cool of the day. Sounds like he did it every day. Abraham sat in his tent in the heat of the day, just meditating, and sees the angels coming down the road. Isaac goes out in the field. Jacob meets God in a dream, meets God again on a riverbank by himself. Just on and on. Moses takes the tent. Elijah goes out to a mountain, goes to a cave. Isaiah tells us, in quietness and peace, rest will be your strength. Zephaniah prophesies, God will quiet you with his singing over you. You have Jesus. And then how about his followers? Oh, yeah. The 120 go up into an upper room. They get away and the Holy Spirit falls. Peter and John, their first miracle is when they go to the temple at what time? 3:00 in the afternoon. That was the time of prayer, the time of getting alone with God. The gospel got to us Gentiles because in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, at what time in the day? 3:00 in the afternoon. Now, isn't that a coincidence? At the very time of prayer, an angel appears to him and then says, go to Peter and bring him to you. He has a message for you. The three men go from Cornelius and then at Peter's place that he's staying at noon. What a coincidence, noon. What was Peter doing at noon? He went up to the rooftop to get alone to pray before lunch. And that was their time of prayer. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, look, after God saved me, I didn't go and talk to a whole bunch of different people. I went away to Arabia for 3 years. He got alone for 3 years with Jesus. Last book of the Bible. Why is it written? Because a guy named John, last of the living apostles, was on an island doing hard labor for his faith in Jesus. And it says, I was in the Spirit when? On the Lord's day. He got alone. And all of a sudden, which was a whole lot louder than that. And all of a sudden, he's here in Jesus and he gets the whole thing laid out because of a quiet time. Hallelujah. Oh. So when, often at the beginning of the day, through the day, at night, many and longer retreats, and really encourage you to do it not only daily, but weekly, monthly. Remember the new moon, seasonally, yearly. Where? A lonely place that forms a quiet place in your heart. I mean, whatever works for you. They did it in a tent, rooftop, cave. And then now we're going to close on. So now let's talk about how. I know when. See, as evangelical Christians, our thinking is, and it's not wrong, it's just incomplete. I just need to read more Bible. I just need to listen to more Christian podcasts. I just need to read a book. I just need to cram more information in, and then maybe then it'll work, something will click. Yeah, and if you're not doing that, please get into the Word. But maybe you just need to get quiet. Maybe just need, somebody said we're educated way beyond our obedience. Maybe we just need to think, okay, Lord, with all that I already know, what do you want me to do? And when we've done this as a church, I've done in small groups, Bible studies, when we first do it, there's just this resistance, like, this is weird, don't want to do it. What if God doesn't speak to me? What if I get it wrong? You stop. This is something they did from Genesis to Revelation. Do it with faith. You're doing the right thing. Jesus is your Lord, your Savior, and your model and your friend. Do it with faith. Secondly, do it with intention. With the intention of hearing God's voice. And test the spirits. I mean, I would encourage you to journal. And you'll increase that ability. And just pray. 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, I have to say that I'm an efficiency freak. If God doesn't start talking to me within 10, 15 seconds, I think, okay, well, I guess there's nothing for me today. Stop! Slow down, amen? Just take a minute. It'll kill you, but You'll be good. Number three, start slow. Add 1 minute of silence to your devotions. Maybe, you know, and also at the end of the day when you pray, just start there. Don't start where you should be. This is for us overachievers. Don't start where you should be, but where you are. Don't try to run a marathon if you can't walk a mile, okay? You know what? I'm going to spend an hour in silence. You're going to die. Don't do that. Now, maybe in time, but can you do a minute? I think you can do a minute. Try it. And then for you underachievers, expect it to be uncomfortable. You're not going to like it. You're going to feel itchy and twitchy, jittery. You're an addict. You need speed. You need noise. Just expect it. Okay. So do it with faith. Do it with intention to hear God's voice. Start slow. Just add a minute. Get practical. Turn off the noise. Find a place, a chair, a closet, a room, a tree, a park. Get regular, as was his custom. And I like this. This was the reading from, I think, from our book on the counseling that I listened to. Respect the place for yourself and others. In this book on counseling that we read about, learning how we love, they said, have a listening chair in your house or a place. It's like, okay, we know that when a person sits in that chair, you leave them alone. They're listening. You know the story of Susanna Wesley. I think she had 8 kids, and John and Charles were 2 of the 8. And so busy back in the 1700s. And when she had her quiet time, she would take her apron and put it up over her head. Kids knew, don't bother mom. Amen. Respect it. Ugh. And then grow. Expand. Take the practice of solitude and silence further. 7 times a day. Now, David says this, 7 times a day I meditate on your word. 7 times a day. How do you do that 7 times a day? When you get up, when you eat breakfast, coffee break, lunch, coffee break, supper, and when you go to bed. That's 7. And the Jews actually did that. Our coffee break is based upon the hour of prayer. Hallelujah. Take regular time. Transition times, like when you complete a project or a new task or you're going to meet someone. Remember Fred Rogers, he began every board meeting with, we want to take a minute of silence and think about somebody who's had a good impact on us. That set the tone. Trigger times, when you feel anxious or worried, tempted. Extended times. Again, I would encourage you on Sunday nights, get alone with the Lord, look at your week, pray, listen, and write some stuff out. It's a new month. They had a new moon festival where they stopped. You know, look at October. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to get done in October? What didn't I get done in September? Lord, thank you for what did get done. And just stop. I was a kid, and I don't remember. I looked it up. I couldn't find it. And it was a children's story that was read. And it was called, I don't know what it's called, but it was the Land of Loud. Has anybody, anyway, it was the Land of Loud. And everything they did was loud. They were loud and they were proud. They began their day shouting and yelling and banging pots and pans. They loved loud. And they had, I like this book. And the king's birthday was coming. And they thought, what better present could we give the king than the loudest happy birthday ever? And so the day came, and they all were in the town square, and the king was up in his castle and his tower looking down, smiling from ear to ear. And when the clock struck 12, they were to give the biggest, the loudest happy birthday ever with shouting and singing and banging their pots and their pans. But all the townspeople began thinking, if I shout and bang my pans, then I won't hear everybody else shouting. I want to be like the king and hear the loudest birthday ever. And so the clock struck 12. Everybody took a deep breath and listened. It was the first time they heard it. Quiet. Nothing. And then this little bird began singing. And the land of loud became the land of listening. Jesus is our model. Get alone, get away, so that you start hearing God's voice in the quiet, that you can start hearing him in the noise, and your good habits will one day help you do things you can't do now. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we love you. Thank you that you give us the model, the YouTube, in a sense of Jesus. Lord, I know, forgive me for how I, and we need to, I go to your word intellectually, amen. But help us also go emotionally. Oh, Lord, I love you. Thank you for how you model it. You're better than YouTube. You show us how. Please, if you've not trusted in Jesus, know that he's the best rabbi ever. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have it together. You don't have to have it successful. No, he goes after those who are worn out, who are overloaded, who are burdened, who are hurting, who wonder, what is life about? Please, no, it's about Jesus. And he has an easy yoke that he wants to walk with you. And say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need your yoke, not mine. I believe you took, in a sense, the bigger yoke, the yoke of the cross. And you died and you suffered for me and you rose again to forgive me and to love me. And so I get into the yoke with you. And if you're doing that for the first time, please tell others that Jesus is your rabbi, your Lord, your lover, your forgiver. Get baptized. Reach out to us. Lord, we're going to take a minute here and just get silent with you. If we don't hear, help us to get comfortable in the silence. If we do hear, help us to discern the spirits. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm just going to take a minute. Be quiet before the Lord. Father, like a weaned child, we have quieted our souls, content on your lap. Help us to get into this practice like Jesus did, for you to speak to us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. What a perfect Sunday to have communion where we get alone with Jesus. Amen. So if you're streaming, you might want to get something to partake with us. And just open up that cellophane from the top to get the bread available. And then kind of pull back the that triangle that sticks out there for to be able to get the juice. I had a neat prayer experience this week. And meditating on communion. I was thinking about communion, and I was laying in bed, comfortable, and I was just rubbing my leg, because I was thinking. And as I was rubbing my leg, it struck me What did Jesus' thigh feel like on the cross? I mean, there I was, basically in no pain. And just the nerves and the tension. And as I rubbed my leg, it was so easy to just say, sorry. And my knees were up, and I felt the Lord saying, just stay in that spirit. So I began rubbing my knee and just thinking about Jesus' knees. Now, the scriptures don't say a whole lot about the suffering of his knees, but we know that he fell several times with a crossbeam that weighed about 75 pounds. From the Shroud of Turin, the elbows and his knees were bruised, damaged. And then I thought about how those same knees were the knees that bent in prayer, the same knees that prayed for me, were the same knees that walked this earth. And the prayer changed from, I'm sorry, to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you. Amen. On the night that Jesus died, he picked up the bread and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take in remembrance of Christ. Say we're sorry. And we say thank you. And we say we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And after he gave them the cup or the bread, he gave them the cup. He lifted it up and he said, this cup is the new covenant, the new relationship, the new commitment in my blood, which is poured out for you in the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink in remembrance of Christ. Father, thank you that our walk, our salvation with you is full and it's complete. It's bread and cup. It's Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, fully suffering and fully resurrected all at the same time. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen. Now going to worship. Let the stuff sit and soak. And Jeff and Brian, if you would come up. If you need prayer, it's another time to get away, get alone. Let's worship our God. Stand with me.